Today on Hardwired.
Have you intensely longed for the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing? Have you desired it? Have I desired it? Because we're being commanded right here in the Word of God to desire spiritual gifts.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, in our last few times together, we've been studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what they are, how they manifest, how we receive them, and God's purpose for them. And last time, we looked at what is called the three power gifts. Now, today, we're going to explore what's called the utterance gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So if you've had questions about these particular gifts, as so many have had, grab a Bible and follow along as we look at what the Bible plainly tells us about these gifts, the utterance gifts. Let's go.
Now, we're reading out of 1 Corinthians 12, where the gifts are first mentioned. And let's see what God said. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, if God doesn't want me to be ignorant about something, I don't want to be ignorant. Amen? There are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, here comes the gifts, starting in verse 8. He's going to list 9. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You notice he's saying same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit. Do you think he wants us to understand they all come from the same Spirit, Holy Spirit? Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. And this is where we are going to be tonight, starting in verse 10, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wants to. So the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts of the Spirit as he deems fit, as he desires. Now, so far, we've looked at 6 of the 9 gifts mentioned in the text we just read. We've noted they can be broken down into 3 categories: revelation gifts, power gifts, and now utterance gifts. So having studied the revelation gifts, and what were they? The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are what we call revelation gifts. And power gifts that we looked at last time, which are the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and miracles. I believe in miracles, as Catherine Kuhlman used to say. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. And that's the way she said it. I'm just letting you know. I was there in person. I heard her do it. She always said that. But it's true. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Amen? Amen. So, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues are the 3 vocal or utterance gifts. So let's begin with the gift of prophecy. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Now, you know that we have to do word studies because this is coming straight from the Word. And though it's a translation, it was written originally in Greek. So from time to time, I'm going to actually enunciate a Greek word. And usually I do it when I know you can recognize the Greek word because it's translated into something very familiar in English. Like prophetia, that's the Greek word for prophecy, prophetia. Everybody say prophetia. Prophetia means divinely empowered forth-telling. Notice I said forth-telling, not foretelling, forth-telling, which is speaking the mind of God, and or foretelling, which is prediction. So prophecy, prophetia, can mean either of the two: forth-telling, declaring the word of God prophetically, or foretelling, predicting a future event. Now we know when we hear the word prophecy, we tend to think prediction. We tend to think of foretelling. But I'm going to show you that in the New Testament, overwhelmingly, most of the time that somebody prophesied, it was forth-telling and not foretelling. Now in the Old Testament, prophets were those who would tell forth the word of God. And they would speak his word into a situation, such as when Jeremiah spoke God's mind to Judah regarding their sin. If you read the book of Jeremiah, it's like reading the newspaper, because Judah, in the time of Jeremiah, is a carbon copy of America now. America, as a matter of fact, I think America's got a little bit up on Judah that was finally judged and went into captivity. I think we have surpassed Judah. But you'll see Jeremiah, he prophesied to them for over 3 decades, and they didn't listen. If you can imagine somebody getting up every day prophesying to you for over 3 decades, and you don't listen, but they weren't listening. And what did he do? He spoke God's word into their situation, into their context, into their sin. And he said, if you don't repent, then God's going to judge you. And he listed the sins over and over again. You know, walking after the dictates of your own heart. They were killing their children, making them pass through the fire, their firstborn. They were worshiping foreign deities. They were forsaking God, forsaking his word. They were doing all the things that America is doing now and then some. Okay? So that was the forth telling. But then Jeremiah would also prophesy with foretelling, as when he foretold Judah's coming captivity, right down to how long they would be in Babylon. He said, Babylon's going to come, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to take you captive, and you're going to be captive in Babylon for 70 years. Now, you better be in tune and hearing God when you get that specific. But we know now, historically, they were in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. He nailed it. He nailed it. How can you do that? Only if it's the Spirit of God speaking through you. Because only God knows the end of something from the beginning. And so that's what a true prophet does. They are absolutely accurate. All right? So now in the New Testament, that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the ministry of a prophet is not so much one of foretelling, though it can include that. I'm going to give you an example in a moment, as it is forth-telling. Everybody say forth-telling. The word of the Lord. See, forth-telling. And that is, a New Testament prophet was somebody who spoke a now word to the church. A New Testament prophet would come into a church or into a group of Christians and deliver a word from God, not predictive, but explanatory, often exposing sin, often speaking right to some major issue that was in their midst. And this prophetic person would speak right to it, would bring the word of God to it. So prophecy is more times than not in the New Testament a proclamation, not a prediction. Now that said, we do find in the book of Acts a man with the gift of prophecy. His name was Agabus, who foretold a famine that was coming on the whole land. Let's look at what happened. Picking up in the book of Acts, I am in chapter 11, starting at verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Isn't it sad they didn't have iPhones? They couldn't just email or tweet, where are you, man? Oh, I'm over here. But they had to go searching, and sometimes for weeks, just to find somebody. I mean, times like when I read about this, then I'm glad for iPhones. I'm real glad for GPSs. Without a GPS, this boy would be lost half my life, right? When I go different places, I always use those GPSs. But now, so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church, and they taught great numbers of people. Now, the disciples were first called Christians where? at Antioch. And during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now notice the Bible calls them prophets. So we do have New Testament prophets, all right? So these prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them was named Agabus, and he stood up, and how did he speak? What does it say? Through the Spirit, by the Spirit, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, predicted, now there's a prediction, that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Now look what it says parenthetically next. This happened. Everybody say this happened. See, if it's from God, folks, it will happen. It will happen just like they said. I read recently, well, a while back, a very well-known person who's real involved in what is called a prophetic movement in America. I don't need to name any names, but he trains people to be prophetic, and I kind of don't know about that, but he trains people to be prophetic. But he said, we give our prophets about a 60% accuracy rate. I'm going, what? What? Because look, when a real prophet makes a prediction, what? It happens. It happens. You can't give a 60% accuracy rate. What is that about? That's not biblical. If God speaks, he speaks. And if he speaks, it's going to happen. Amen? Because if you water it down like that, how do we know the word of God is going to come true? But listen, the Bible says Jesus Christ is going to return visibly, physically, to the earth, to rule the earth out of Jerusalem. Well, there's not a 60% chance that's going to happen. That's going to 100% happen. I mean, he's going to physically land on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in half. He is going to judge the world, and he's going to rule from Jerusalem with a scepter of righteousness. The devil's going to be bound. Flesh is going to be bound. All of that is going to be 100% accurately true, right? So I don't accept the 60% stuff. I just don't. Now it says in verse 29, look how the disciples believed the prophetic word. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They knew the famine was coming. They acted on the prophetic word. This they did, sending their financial gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So here comes Agabus with this word. They witnessed to it. They said, this is God. That famine is coming. So they started raising money immediately to send relief to the people that were going to be hardest hit. And that's exactly what they did. And so they were ahead of the game because the Spirit of God warned them. And I wonder how much we really listen to the warnings of the Holy Spirit. You know, do we listen to the warnings of the Holy Spirit enough that we prepare for what the Spirit is warning us about?
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So Agabus was used of God to foretell a very traumatic approaching famine that allowed the church to prepare for the difficult time to come. But most New Testament use of the word prophecy is in forthtelling, preaching a now word to the church. You can find the word prophet or prophecy over and over again in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. And it's overwhelmingly a forthtelling. Not that there can't be a foretelling. I've had some situations where I've seen somebody prophesy a coming event and I've seen it happen. I think one of the most uncanny has to be the prophecy God gave David Wilkerson in 1972 called The Vision. And you ought to read it. It's absolutely a mind blower. He predicted things coming out of America that didn't even exist
when he said it. And he talked about how the Holy Spirit woke him up in the middle of the night and he fell on the ground. And God just moved over him and he wept and wailed and cried like a baby. And God gave him these warning words over America. And I'm telling you, it was just unbelievable the way these things came to pass. Now, I'm not saying he was inerrant. You know, he was a flawed human being, but the word he brought in that particular instance was accurate. Now, the Bible teaches that the gift of prophecy is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. This will be the effect when God speaks a fresh word into a situation. I want you to say with me, when God speaks, it will edify, it will exhort, and it will comfort. Even if it's a warning, it will edify the true believer because they know God gave me this and God's taking care of me and God's watching out for me and that's why he gave me this warning. So even a warning brings a level of comfort. And the Bible says that every Christian should desire the gift of prophecy. Look what it says in verse 3 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may what? Prophesy. Speak God's word into a situation. Because he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So we ought to desire to prophesy. You say, well, Jeff, I'm just not the prophet type. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit living in you is the prophet type. Amen. Listen, he totally overruled my personality. My personality was to be withdrawn to myself, pulled into a shell. And when he came upon me and called me to preach, he called me out. My natural nature was not to do what I'm doing. It terrified me. Now, I know that's hard for you to believe, but believe me, first few times I got to teach and preach and minister the word, I was convinced you could see my eye twitching because it was twitching. My lips were trembling. They were trembling. My voice was shaking, and I just felt like I'm making an idiot of myself, and I was amazed when people were blessed. But he overrode my natural withdrawn personality. So yeah, it may not be you in the natural, but it's the Holy Spirit in you to bring the word of God to a situation. Amen? Or he wouldn't tell us to desire it. You know, it strikes me that Paul commands the church to desire spiritual gifts. I want you to say desire with me. Now, can I ask you a question before I continue with this? When was the last time you desired a spiritual gift? Because right here, he says, desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. In the original language, this is very, very strong. It means to burn with zeal, to be deeply committed to something, to set one's heart on, to be completely intent upon, wanting spiritual gifts. The 9 we've covered. Have you intensely longed for the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing? Have you desired it? Have I desired it? Come on, everybody. Have we desired it? Because we're being commanded right here in the word of God to desire spiritual gifts. Well, if God wants me to have a spiritual gift, it'll hit me. Is that what he said? He said, desire it. He said, desire it. Now, let me take it a little bit deeper. This is so strong. The Greek word is zelao. Zelao. And I'm going to throw a big word your way. It's an onomatopoeic word, and that means it imitates the sound of something. The word itself, zelao, it sounds like boiling, hissing water. Zelao. That's what you mean by onomatopoeia, or something being onomatopoeic. So it imitates the sound of boiling water to bubble over because so hot. That's how hot we're to desire spiritual gifts. Wow. Come on, everybody. We're to be boiling over in desire for spiritual gifts. That's what it says. I wonder when the last time was that most Christians in America and the world, but particularly the West, burned with zeal, like boiling water, for the gifts of the Spirit, particularly to speak God's word prophetically into a needy situation. Can we just lift our hands for a minute and say, Lord, help me to boil over with desire for what you want me to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him a hand of praise. So that's the first utterance gift, the gift of prophecy, forthtelling and foretelling. And we're to all desire that gift. Now, the second utterance gift is, no question about it, the most controversial of the nine gifts. Matter of fact, right now on the radio, people are going to be perking up and turning me up real loud on the highway because they're going to want to know what I say about this. A lot of them are going to be people that were raised in the teaching that tongues were of the devil, not of God, gibberish, nonsensical mutterings, and so on and so forth. And you know what? Some of the people that teach that truly have given their lives to study the Word of God. And I'm not here to slam anybody. I've known people that were against tongues who could read Greek and Hebrew backwards, who loved God's Word. They had just come to a conclusion I can't come to. And I'm just going to lay out the way I come to it, and you can chew the meat and spit out the bones. You know, you can go with it or not. It's okay. We're all still saved. We're all going to go to heaven. If the rapture happened before I'm done, we're still all going up, whether we go with tongues or not, right? Okay. But let's just unpack the word here, the gift of tongues. He says in verse 10, to another is given different kinds of tongues. Now, the word tongue is from the Greek word glossa, meaning a tongue or a language. That's it. That's what it means. We first find the phenomenon of the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost. We all know the story. When the Spirit of God fell on the 120 gathered in the upper room, he manifested as tongues of fire sitting above each of their heads. Now, that was powerful in and of itself, if you can imagine. Now, I'm reading it, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, here again, he's emphasizing this was from and by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the tongues that they were speaking were earthly dialects understood by the multitudes gathered for Pentecost. Very important. We're just being honest here. This was not a heavenly language. These were earthly dialects. And I'm going to read the text. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from, look how many people were there for Pentecost, from every nation under heaven. This was a massive crowd. And here's this 120 in the upper room, and the Spirit falls, and they all begin to speak in languages that were earthly, but they had never learned. They'd never learned them. It's like if I started speaking German right now, fluently, having never learned it. So this massive crowd, now I counted, there were probably at least 21 different languages being spoken right here, right then. 21 different languages at least, just judging the nations that were there. So here's 21 different languages sounding out the miraculous works of God, lifting up Jesus Christ, praising his name. All right? 21 different languages. And so it says, when this sound occurred of all these languages, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking his what? Say it with me. Own language. And right about then is when Peter stood up and preached the first Holy Ghost anointed gospel message, and 3,000 were saved. Amen. Now, so the first manifestation of the gift of tongues was in the form of earthly language, formerly unknown to those who were speaking it. So it was totally supernatural.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two.
People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.